This is Gulf Coast Live. I'm Julie Glenn. Being a new mom comes with a lot of second-guessing oneself, stressing over whether you're doing it right and learning as you go. And now a new club called the Fourth Trimester Club is here to help mothers of newborns connect with one another and with experts and educators in an informal setting. Later on the show, we'll talk with the organizers of that club and check in with the Lee Health Breast Milk Banks to see how they're doing after their first year in service. But first, the Goodwill Life Academy, a Fort Myers charter school that bills itself as a life institute for education for students with intellectual disabilities, will soon close its doors for good. Last week, the charter's governing board made an abrupt and unanimous vote to close the school, citing declining revenue from Goodwill stores and a $250,000 budget shortfall. The board's vote also revokes the school's charter. The closure will be effective by the start of the next school year. The school was considered by many parents as an educational oasis and attuned to their child's unique needs. Some are even taking to the web to kickstart online fundraising efforts to collect the $250,000 that the school would need to stay open for another year. But after a week, a fundraising page on GoFundMe.com had collected just $100. Joining us to talk about the Goodwill Life Academy, the school's 12-year run in Lee County, and what ultimately went into the decision to close the school is Carolyn Johnson, the Vice President of Communications for Goodwill of Southwest Florida. Welcome to Gulf Coast Live.
Thank you.
Also joining the program to talk about what's next for the students who no longer have a school is Dr. J.F. McCullers. He's the public charter liaison for the Lee County School District. Welcome to the show.
Thanks very much.
We are talking about the closure of the Goodwill Life Academy, the Lee County Charter School focused on students with disabilities, and what comes next for those kids. Call in with your thoughts at 877-428-8255. That's 877-GCU-TALK. On Facebook, we're at WGCU Public Media, and on Twitter, we're at WGCU using the hashtag GCL. First, Carolyn Johnson with Goodwill. Before we get into our discussion about why the Life Academy is closing, tell me a little bit about how it came to be.
Absolutely. The school was open for 12 years. 12 years ago, our CEO at the time, Tom Furig, it was a vision of his, quite frankly. He has a daughter with a disability, and he felt that maybe there was a gap that we could help fill in our community. Of course, the Lee County school systems do have inclusive services within the schools, but we wanted to be able to give parents just another option, another avenue. And that's basically how the premise started. And there had been some other Goodwills across the country that also had schools. So we thought we could try it here and see if it could work. And it did for 12 years.
Where did the funding come from in the beginning?
Well, you do it through a charter, and there's a whole system that you go through. I'm sure Mr. Cullers can tell you all of that. But Goodwill basically funded the majority of it, or we certainly subsidized it, quite a big chunk of it. And we've been able to do that successfully for 12 years.
Mm-hmm. So when people think of Goodwill, they usually think of its thrift stores.
Yes.
I mean, that's a big part of things.
Absolutely.
But it's a larger nonprofit, and it offers a lot of different programs. How did it become focused on Life Academy here in Fort Myers? Is it because of the vision of that one CEO?
Well, it was the vision of our CEO. And we have our stores so that we can support our programs and services. They're one in the same. You know, we're Goodwill. We have a mission to support people with disabilities and disadvantages. We have our stores to support that. That is, for better lack of terminology, that is the fundraising arm for all of our programs and services. 89 cents of every dollar goes back into our programs and services. So, you know, we've been, you know, very blessed to have a giving community here, people who love to thrift shop, people who love to donate, and that has afforded us the ability to do what we need to do and serve people with disabilities and help them become independent. And what we've always tried to do at Goodwill, we don't want to duplicate a service, but we want to provide an option. We want to provide, you know, fill a gap. And at that time when we were looking at Life Academy, like I said, we felt that maybe there was a gap or an option we'd like to put on the table for parents who felt that maybe their child wasn't getting that one-on-one type of attention that they were getting in the school system. And that's pretty much how we look at all of our programs and services. You know, we don't want to duplicate, but we want to see what we could add to the community, you know, to make it better. And our stores help fund that.
And then the stores' revenues kind of decreased, took a nosedive?
Well, it did. We, like I said, you know, I've been with Goodwill 20 years. And this is the first time that I have seen They call it this sort of this retail apocalypse going on right now. And, you know, when all is said and done, we are a retail organization trying to fund programs and services. But we're a retail organization, and everything that's going on with the retail as far as declining sales, I mean, you see it in the news, the Macy's, the JCPenney's, you know, people closing their stores. It's all over the news. Well, we're not immune to that. We're not quite sure why it's happening. I mean, people point to the cell phones, they point to online, they point to Amazon. You know, at this point, it seems like a death by a thousand cuts. I mean, you know,
yeah.
Pick anything that you can think of.
So, Dr. McCullers with Lee County Schools, can you break down what exactly a charter school is and what it does in Lee County?
Sure, I'll be happy to. A charter school in Florida is a public school. It is. It receives public funds, public tax money to operate the school, but it is operated privately by a private company or a private organization. In this case, it was operated by Goodwill Academies.
Okay, are they always dedicated to a unique student population like Life Academy, or are they generally open?
More commonly, they are general education programs. Sometimes they do specialize.
Mm-hmm. So how much autonomy does a school end up having when it is a charter school?
They have quite a bit of autonomy as far as curriculum and instruction goes. Pretty much whatever they propose in their charter application can be done. The only requirement is that they sit for student assessments when those are appropriate, state tests when they're required, and meet some of the state safe and health laws. But otherwise, they have tremendous independence.
Are there ever charter schools that charge a tuition?
No, not in Florida. Charter schools do not charge tuition.
They're not allowed to?
No.
Do they have enrollment limits? Or does that kind of depend?
The enrollment limits are negotiable. They're established when they apply for the charter, and they can be adjusted as the school proceeds.
So the school comes to Lee County, applies for a charter, and Lee County says, okay, sure, yeah, we can do that. And then Lee County then takes funding that would go to public schools and gives that public school funding to the charter operator?
That's right. They get a regular payment.
Now, is that charter operator supposed to be 100% funded by the county schools through that funding, or do they have other sources of funding?
It's more typical that that's the only source of funding for a charter school. We have 26, and most of them operate solely on the state and local monies that we provide. As the schools get smaller or more specialized, and in this case they were both small and specialized, the dependence on extra funding becomes very important.
Yeah, because what Lee County Schools is going to be able to give to a charter that is this small and specialized is not going to cover its cost of operation.
We would not operate a school this small and this specialized independently, no.
There's no way to do that. So when you have a charter close, is there a limit to the number of charters that are available in a given county? Can they make everything a charter school? Are there any rules or limitations to how many charter schools a county can have?
That's an interesting question. In many states, there are caps, sometimes by district or even statewide. In Florida, there are no caps and no limits.
So what is the benefit to a county school system to having charter schools?
Oh, choice, certainly. That is the primary benefit that we get from charter schools is another option for parents. They're looking for something. If this doesn't work or if that seems more promising, charter schools are always there as another option.
As a different option. And how much do they differ from what's available in regular public schools?
We don't have any other charter school like Goodwill Life Academy. They're quite unique in that case.
Mm-hmm. And so, Carolyn Johnson with Goodwill, mm-hmm. I wanted to ask you, what percent of, I mean, I'm just, you know, not exact numbers, okay. But, you know, what kind of amount was covered by what Goodwill Life Academy got from the school district?
Well, we subsidized about $250,000 every year. That was our portion of what we helped to support the school.
Mm-hmm. So what amount does that make, like 50% of it or 75% of it?
I believe we got from I think we got from the state probably about 600,000.
Okay, and then you put in an extra 250.
Right, and we put in, yes.
And that 250 is just no longer showing up from the retail sales.
It is not.
And that was only – did you know that 250 was always just coming from the retail establishments?
Yes, it was. I mean, that's definitely where the money came from. That's where the majority of our revenue to support our programs and services come from.
Okay.
Absolutely.
All right. We are talking about the closure of the Goodwill Life Academy Charter School in Fort Myers with our guest Carolyn Johnson with Goodwill and Dr. J.F. McCullers with Lee County Schools. You can call in with your thoughts, too, at 877-428-8255. That's 877-GCU-TALK. So I wanted to ask Carolyn, when did Goodwill first kind of get the first inkling that there was going to be a problem with funding?
Well, we've been grappling with the funding for a little bit, but we've always managed because, you know, retail, as the nature of retail goes, it's up and down. It's every day you look at the numbers. And
well, that's the whole economy of Southwest
Florida.
It's very unpredictable. Yes.
Very unpredictable. And it, you know, we were watching the numbers and we really felt like it would rebound. And honestly, the decision came about rather quickly because we looked around and said, wow, this is not rebounding. This actually might be a new normal for us, and once we realized this could be the new reality, you know, we did try and put things very carefully in place so that we knew our first priority were the students. We knew that any time the information would come out, it would never be a good time. Middle of the year, beginning of the year, end of the year, it's never going to be a good time to tell families that they might have to think of another alternative. But I would say we were really, really hoping to turn a corner in the beginning of 2017. It just didn't happen. It did not happen, and we're still struggling. And, you know, the school is just one part of what we do, a big part of what we do, and certainly a big face of our mission. And it was a decision that did not come lightly. We are brokenhearted about it because we know why we started it. We know how much the parents and the students loved it. And so we really tried to think of everything that we could do. But when it all came down to it, the money just wasn't there. We're not getting the revenue in that we have in previous years before.
Well, fiscally, this is the time of year when people really evaluate, or actually a couple months ago, mm-hmm. when you start really evaluating things and looking
yes.
at the hard numbers, because you've gone through the high season and you know that that's pretty much.
And our high season was not a high season.
It was not high.
It was not high.
So during that process, though, when you're looking at declining mm-hmm. sales and declining revenues, did you ever have any like conversations with parent organizations or any groups to maybe like, maybe we should do some fundraising or anything specific like that?
Now, about a year ago, we hired a fund development person. And she worked with us, and part of her task was to go out and find money, not only for Life Academy, but for other programs. We have an adult training center called Pathways. And she was tasked, that was her job, to be the fund development. And it didn't pan out. She said this was very difficult, which it was. And, you know, she went her separate way, so.
You ended up not seeing any donations come in.
Not to the level that we would really want to. And we've sent things home to parents. We've done different things. I'm not saying that we couldn't have been more aggressive, honestly. We could have probably been a little bit more aggressive. But our business model, Goodwill, has always been, you know, we get our revenue, the majority of our revenue from our stores. And we, Goodwill Industries of Southwest Florida, has been here for 51 years. That has been our model. That has been our business model to support our programs and services. So we're not, shall we say, attuned into the fund development side as some smaller nonprofits are, other nonprofits who, you know, they use, you know, fund development to turn on the lights, you know.
Having big galas and
right.
All
I mean, we have our stores and we have our Festival of Trees, and we have our golf tournament. So we're not big fundraisers per se. So, you know, there's a lot of, you know, things if you look back on it, you know, you wonder. But, you know, the main part of it is we did everything that we could. within what we could do. We supported the school for 12 years with no problem. And it's easy to do when you're having 8 to 10%, you know, sales increases over year. And that's due because of the community shopping and donating and giving back.
But that just kind of stopped.
So it's not stopping.
And
I do want to say this, and it's very important. This is not unique to just Southwest Florida Goodwill.
Yeah, it's a national issue.
This is a national issue with Goodwills. And that's when I think, you know, we started looking, hey, you know, we need to possibly think about something else because it's not just us. I mean, we talk to other Goodwills across the country, same issues.
And then Dr. McCullers with Lee County Schools, you're involved with the charter schools in Lee County. So when a charter school is having a problem, is there any way for the school district to swoop in and save the day? Is there any way of reshuffling resources to be able to keep a charter school afloat?
Well, the district can't really operate the charter school, and we don't have some of the flexibility that charter schools have. We can't use as many different kinds of buildings, for example, as charter schools can use. So if the district is doing it, sometimes there's a little bit higher operating cost, so we have to resort to economies of scale to make it all work out. So we will typically put students in a larger school building than a charter school will in order to get that efficiency. But as far as saving an existing charter school, there isn't too much to do. Those charter school teachers are not school district employees. Their debts are not our debts. We're separate legal and financial entities. We serve the same students, though, and so that's where we can come in and help, and that's what we've been doing.
Yeah, but then I'm wondering, and my question is, I guess, and I guess I'm kind of maybe operating in a land of ideal, endless funding. Is there any way to maybe channel more funding from Lee County Schools towards these specific students to help support that type of a charter?
Well, they're already receiving more funding per student than most other students. That's the nature of the kind of service that was being provided.
Mm-hmm.
But we could not sustain it in the same model that the charter school was using.
Okay. All right. We have a call coming in from Lindy, who has a question for us. Lindy, what's your question?
Hi, I am enjoying the show immensely, and two things actually popped up in my mind when your speaker said that Goodwill is like Macy's and JCPenney, and encountering some of the things that retail stores and big chains are encountering, but I don't think that's an apple-to-apple match because they are in a distribution chain where they actually pay for their inventory. Goodwill, from what I understand, everything is donated, so really everything is pure profit. And the other thing that I don't understand or agree with is that your speaker also said people are shopping online at Amazon and going to Google and everything. Well, people that I know, and myself included, we would go to Goodwill for that $5.99 shirt instead of sitting online and ordering it online through Amazon for double the amount of money. So I believe that there's always going to be that Goodwill price point, and that no matter what economic level you are, I shop at the boutique in downtown Fort Myers. It's a little bit upscale. There's going to be Goodwill shoppers, and it's all profit.
Okay, so do you see Goodwill shoppers falling off as far as just not coming into shop? I mean, how much have the retail numbers fallen off?
Well, they've fallen off quite a bit. And that's what we're trying to figure out. We're trying to figure out, are the same number of people coming into our stores but leaving with less? Are less people coming into the stores? And, you know, that all takes, frankly, money and infrastructure to do that kind of data polling. But we're going to have to start doing that and figuring that out. Like I said, this has been an eye-opener for us, and it's a game-changer for us. We know it's not just us because it's Goodwills all across the country saying the same thing. We're doing better than some others, but then also not as well as some others. So it's up and down. But nevertheless, countrywide, the sales are down. We're trying to figure out what it is. You know, is it that and I agree with the shopper, their thrift shoppers are out there and they love to thrift shop. And they're gonna come in, they're gonna thrift shop and you know, you've got your diehard people, and we've always been extremely blessed here in Southwest Florida to have our thrift shoppers. You know, but I'm wondering, you know, do they come in and do they go on the phone and they go, oh, okay, well, I'm not going to pay that because I can get that here. Or, you know, maybe there's more information at hand. I don't know. And I did want to say to caller, you know, thank you for shopping at our boutique downtown. We appreciate it. I know Jonathan, our manager, I'm giving him a shout out. I'm sure he's happy about that. But I wasn't comparing us to Macy's, and certainly we don't compare to those larger for-profit stores. But whatever it is that is affecting them retail-wise, something is affecting us the same way. And even though we do get our generous donations from our community, you know, we still pay every single one of our employees. We still have to process. We still have a business to run so that we can turn the majority of the revenue of what we get back into our programs and services.
Mm-hmm. We have another call on the line. This is Kathy calling from Fort Myers. Kathy, what would you like to ask? Kathy, are you with us? Okay, I don't think that we have Kathy. Let's see if Don from Naples is here. Don, do you have a question? And Don is gone too. So I wanted to ask another question. One of the things that kind of can, you know, I wondered about, these teachers that are at the Life Academy or were at the Life mm-hmm. Academy, they're very specialized, and they are a certain breed of teacher that is just not common.
They're fantastic.
And they make these connections with these mm-hmm. kids, and they have a certain kind of temperament that mm-hmm. Is just, you know, angelic. And I wanted to ask, do you have any idea what is going to happen with these teachers? And then I wanted to also ask Dr. McCullers if he foresees a place for them within Lee County Schools. I mean, we mentioned earlier they aren't employees of Lee County Schools. But maybe that is a transition that could be made. Do you know anything about that?
Well, I'm going to defer that to Dr. McCullers, but I know that we've done everything to bring the team together, both on the Lee County Charter School side and the Lee County side, to come together so that we can make the transition as seamless as possible for the parents, for the students, and, of course, for our teachers. You know, it was a whole family over there. And so we wanted to get everybody together so that they can begin the process. And Dr. McCullers might be able to answer further your question of what options the teachers have.
Yeah. And Dr. McCullers, I wanted to ask a little bit about the transition of these students going into Lee County Schools. How is that working out? How are they being placed? And then also about the teachers who are no longer with Life Academy.
Well, I'll go ahead and answer the employee question. We asked for permission to attend a faculty meeting of the school, and that permission was granted last week, and we met with the entire faculty, and we explained to them that we valued the experience and credentials they had, and certainly the experience they'd had with this charter school, and we encouraged them to apply for positions with us. It may even be possible that we'll end up with students and teachers reunited. That would be a wonderful outcome, and it would make everybody happy. So if that's possible, you know, that's something that we'll try to arrange. But we did bring recruitment people over and spoke to the employees at the charter school and gave them a little lesson on how to come back and work for the school district in similar positions. Now, for the students, we had 50-some students. Some graduated at the end of the school year. Some have reached the end of their school, school days because of their age. But most of them are going to be looking for school next year, and we are working one-on-one with those students and their families, looking at their individual education plans, their education histories, and looking for the best placement. So far this morning, we have completed 27 of those and have those students already placed for next school year. So we're about halfway there.
How does that work? Does the parent get to go to the school and kind of see what kind of facility they're dealing with and where they're going to be sending their kid? Because change for these students is kind of tougher than for average.
It certainly is. We'll start with a meeting with the family. We'll explain to them what the options seem to be for, you know, where they live. And if they want to visit the school, we'll set that up.
Okay. And then I think taking a physical look at things really kind of helps put minds at ease, too. We have Chuck back on the line. Chuck, did you have a question?
Thank you very much. I think Goodwill was great to begin with, and I have an issue with it because over the years things have changed, and it's changed for profit, I think. You know, a lot of my friends that I, you know, that come into my store, I say, hey, go to Salvation Army, go to one of these other thrift shops, because you're going to be able to get a pair of pants, books, you know, whatever kind of like kitchen accessory you might need for a fraction of the cost of what they do at Goodwill, because they're not out to like make all this money to like do schools or do whatever this outreach stuff is. You know, if they're going to be an outreach store, then, you know, then say it and hey, we're going to make profit on that. But you know what, if you're going to do good for the people and you're going to be a thrift store, then you might as well do good for the community and sell them the products that they need, like clothes and all that kind of stuff, for, you know, what it is. You know, they're getting it all for free. So, you know, when I go into a thrift store or when my, you know, friends go in, I want to see that I can afford it, you know, for like a dollar or so. I don't want them to mark up everything to where it's so astronomical, because there's so many other better places to go.
Okay, so Chuck, your advice is then that maybe the retail problem is because the markup's too high? You're thinking that the prices are too high, basically? I'm going to summarize for you there.
Yeah.
All right. So what do you think about that? Do you think maybe the pricing needs to be looked at? Do you think people are going other places because they're finding things cheaper somewhere else?
And it's a fair assessment. And I can tell you that being in the thrift world and having donations come in, all kinds of donations, you know, very high-end donations, some very low-end donations, and then, you know, you hire your staff, and it's actually can be rather subjective as to what it's priced at. But it's something that we are very concerned on, something in all my years that I've been with Goodwill, that we do look at pricing. We even go to other thrift stores and we make sure that we're in line with everybody else is doing. I know that, and I hope I'm not misspeaking, but, you know, if something comes in, you know, we're not going to mark it higher than 50% of what it came in, you know, brand new. And, you know, something that is a little bit of a fallback for us is that, and I don't know if shoppers know this, thrifters know it and our regular shoppers know it, you know, when something is put on the floor, it goes through a cycle. So that item will start at a certain price. And that's going to be, you know, at least 50% lower than what it would have been at retail. And sometimes, you know, it goes way further lower than what it's actually worth. And then by the next week, it's going to be cut down a percentage. By the next week, it's going to be cut down another percentage. By Sunday and Monday, it's 99 cents. And then it ends up in our outlet center for, you know, by the pound. So there is plenty of opportunities. Like if you thought something was overpriced, which I have to say, it's going to happen at some point, and we get, you know, tons of donations in. We have a variety of people marking the prices. We do have a system that we follow, but it's not going to be foolproof. And it's something that we do look at, and we checks and balances. We change the best that we can. But know that that item eventually is going to come down to a price point where it is extremely reasonable. We have a 50% off sale every month. Usually we have another one coming up, you know, pre-Father's Day sale. So there's plenty of opportunities.
But I wanted to also point out, he was talking about being for profit, and that's
– No, we're not for profit.
Okay,
and
that was a word that he used, but he
– Well, I know.
I think he was kind of like going towards like profit here, getting more money
and
than
people,
it's worth.
And people look at us and they say, oh, Goodwill is a for-profit. You're a business. You don't do – we helped 30,000 people, over 30,000 people in our community last year in 2016 with jobs, with skills, with housing, with all types of programs and services. And 89 cents of every dollar that we make That's by people shopping in our stores. The revenue that comes from our community supporting us by shopping in our stores goes back into our programs and services. That's helping those 30,000 plus people in our community.
Okay, and we have time for one last call. This is Kathy. We got disconnected earlier. Kathy, what was your question?
Hello?
Yeah, sorry. What were you saying?
Hello?
Yeah, I don't think that we have a very good connection there. So I'm sorry, Kathy, I can't hear what you're saying. I just heard a couple of hellos. But we are going to have to leave it there for now, though, because we did run out of time. But I do want to thank our guests, Carolyn Johnson with Goodwill and Dr. McCullers with Lee County Schools. Thank you both so much for talking about a, you know, kind of a sensitive subject. I appreciate it.
Thank you for having me.
Coming up, new moms sometimes feel like they're going it alone, but now they don't have to. We'll talk with the organizers of a new club called the Fourth Trimester Club, which has started here in Lee County. I'm Julie Glenn. This is Gulf Coast Live. Please stay with us.